thought I had it or not. Apparently I did not.
Look like this. If we times t, it will become this. So if we combine these two together, here is, that's the first part, that's the second part. We combine them together, will become look like this. They are 0, 0, 0, like this, and 2 minus 1 here to 1, and become 0 again. That will be the final curve.
So what is the value of u of t?
The value of u t? Value of u t is just u t minus 0. U t is here. U, that's the u t, and u t minus 1 is here. If u t minus u t minus 1 will be only this part, but here is negative. It's u t minus 1 minus u t, so it will be the in the bottom of the
okay, and then they're
multiplied
by t, so it's
less. Right. So here is 1, right? In this part, it's minus 1. If it is multiplied by t, it will become minus t. That's why we have this part.
What do you get on the thing about t times u of t minus 0? How do you get this on the first line?
You mean here?
Goldman. Yeah.
This one.
Yeah.
T times u t minus 1. How can we get that part?
Yeah, how do you get that from the original equation?
First, we have this 1, 2, 3. We have 3 parts, right? And here, since the coefficient is t plus 1, we want to split this as 2 parts. It will become t times, this will become this 2. That's from the first part. Yeah, and after that we just put this one and this one together, because they all have t. Yeah, that's the procedure of doing that. So for the second problem, we have the our system yt equals to absolutely value of xt. So, is this a causal system or not? Is it causal?
Yes.
Right, so why is it causal?
So it only depends on previous or current time.
Right. So we didn't see anything like t plus 1 or t plus 2 something, right? We didn't see that, so it's causal system. For the causal system, we just measure if it has, if it depends on the previous input or not. If it depends on the xt minus 1 or xt minus 2, it has memory. If it only depends on the xt, it's memoryless. Are there questions on this?
No.
think that's this one.
It's the easy one.
Right.
So is it the t minus the 1 or t plus the 1 is still memory?
If it's t minus 1, t minus 2 or something, like something like t minus a, something like that, it will be, it has memory. Because it depends on the previous input.
Right.
Here, a should be positive number. If you see something like xt minus 1 or xt minus 2 etc. That means it depends on the previous input.
Right.
That's that kind of case, this system has memory.
What if it's x of t plus 1 or x of t plus a?
Xt plus a. This case, it depends on the future input, right? Now we're in the time t. But our system, the system output will depend on the future input. Xt minus a is the future input. That case is not for the system.
Right, but does it have memory?
It can't have memory unless it's called.
Right, we only measure if it's memory or not for causal system. Right? Remember, it's like a second procedure. First is if it's causal. If it's yes, if it's causal system, we will measure if it's memory or not. If it has memory or don't have memory. We only measure the memory or not for the causal system. Guess that's it for the second problem. Still any question? Is there any question? That one. For the third problem. We get a discrete time. Our system yn equals to sine xn. More like we give a xn, we do this our system. We do sine. We will get yn. Still, we can see that the same idea for the discrete time system. Since the system output only depends on current input, only depends on xn, so this is causal. And also, we didn't see anything like xn minus 1 or anything like that. It is memoryless. The second problem and third problem basically the same thing. I guess most of you get this second problem and the third problem right. For the discrete time convolution, this one is not difficult because we are for this problem, we already covered it in the recitation. Right. For the 2.7 problem B, for the convolution. If we want to reveal that the definition of convolution is the summation. The summation that x that will be our definition for the convolution. And we will put the we already have the figure. Here we will, if we put this, let's say first week we want to decide which one we use because we have two definitions of convolution. It can be either xi times vn minus I or be vi times xn minus I. Because this one has only two points, so we might want to use that one. So it will be is there any questions why we get that from the definition submission? it's like we use this.
When you start from zero.
Right.
Okay.
Every other for the x and all the other values, they are zero. So only have the n equals to, for this I equal to 0 and I equal to 1 left. So we will get that. So x 0 is 2, x 1 is 1. Really get the after you get this result, it's very easy. You can just put one n equals to 1. Two times this. When equals 0, 2 v 0 plus 1 v minus 2. This is 0. It's 2 times v 0. V 0, 1, 2, 3, is 1. It's just 2. So the n equals 0. The result is 2. Same thing for the n equals to 1. It equals 2 times v 1 plus v 1 minus 2. That's minus 1. It's 0. Here, we get everything as we showed in the exam result. So is that any question?
No.
Point 7c is the same thing, right? According to the definition of convolution, we do all the summation for I, and we will give xi times vn minus i. So the xi only x0 and x1 has value, otherwise they will be 0. So it will become for the I equals to 0. It will become x0 times vn minus 0.
Right.
That's 2. Right. and the x1 is 1. It's just equal to 2 vn plus 1 vn minus 1. After we get this form, the result is straightforward. When n equals to 0, it equals 2 times v0 plus v minus 1. And V0 here, V0 is 0, right? That's 0. Same thing for the n minus 1, n minus 2. This kind of problem is not difficult. And if you know this kind of trick, how to do this convolution, it will be easy point. But if you didn't think of this method, you will have no idea how to do it. For the rest two problems, we use the Fourier transform. How many of you did this wrong? This compares the previous one that might be a difficult problem. We use remember in the recitation last week, we talked about how to use the Fourier transform, Fourier transform table, the transform properties. So you then give us some hints that we can use these two properties. Usually, for this kind of problem, there might be lots of ways of doing that. That's not the only solution. For example, as we discussed, when we see that cosine, you can make the substitute this cosine as the exponential, right? After that, we only need to use that the first one, the first properties, we will get the result. Or if you want to use the cosine property, the equation is here. Let's first do it in the exponential method. For cosine 10t will equal e to the power of j 10t plus e to the power of negative j 10t over 2. If we substitute the cosine with this exponential term, xt will equal the 2 this two times and this denominator cancel, right? It will become this one multiply this two terms. So it will become e of t plus j tan t times u t plus e after that, we can just use this platform table. If we put this as a e to the power of a t times u t, that will be minus a. So for the first part here, that's our A. So the Fourier transform for the first part will equal J omega minus this one. And correspondingly, the second part, that's our A, will be J omega minus that's the second part. And after that, you can just combine these two together, you will get the final result. It's just like A plus BJ C DJ. This kind of will be multiply the denominator together. Some form like that.
That's absolutely necessary.
Usually this step is necessary. Otherwise you might lose a little bit of point.
It didn't take off.
Didn't take off?
No.
Okay, then that's fine. Because
yeah.
Sometimes you might can cancel some of them. It depends on how you grade it.
Which
one?
You've done the Fourier transform
with
BTs, right?
Yeah. Should the BTs in the?
Yeah, you drop the T when you take the transform of it. That's a Fourier transform,
right.
Shouldn't have
the
time.
So Fourier transform, there's no T.
So it should be J omega.
Right. Sorry about that. There's no T.
Yeah.
Thanks. Because that's only omega. And if we use another method, if we want to take advantage of that transform properties of that, when we want to use this, we want to decide our xt, right? Here, we can make our xt equals 2 times e ut. We can make this our xt. Then we we will adjust you this property. So for this one, if we do the Fourier transform, as we given in here.
There's a T in there. 2T?
2T. Why is 2T?
For the problem.
I think you're saying it's 2T e to the minus 4T.
That's so still in the problem.
Are you redoing?
Yeah, for using this property.
You weren't using this transformation.
Yeah, because the solution, we want the solution, another solution is to use this property. I want to show you that there's a lot of ways to doing that. As long as you get the correct result, you don't lose any point. So if we want to use this property, we need to make XT as that. For this one, as we already given in the table, it will be 2 times G plus 4. If this is our XT, that will be our X omega, right? Here, XT times this one. So, use this property, the Fourier transform of the whole thing will become that X omega plus omega zero. That will be just replace X omega. Replace that omega with omega plus omega zero. It's 2 times J omega plus omega zero. Here, omega zero is 10, right? This cancels. It's just equal to J omega plus either way, it will work. Another way to do it. In fact, this kind of Fourier transform property, we can easily prove it, right? Because if we replace this with the exponential term, it will become like that. There's lots of ways to doing this kind of Fourier transform. The last problem. So for transform, we already used it in the previous problem. This one is very common one. And the second one, it means if in the time domain, if the xt you multiply it by t in the frequency domain, it will become derivative, right? This g is just a coefficient. It's just like 10 times something. So for this one, first we just put these two together. That will be our xt. So the 2 times e, the Fourier transform of that will be 2 times here is our xt, here is our x omega. See that we just on the left side we times t, on the right side we will j times d 2j omega 2 do the differentiation regarding omega. This is the will be the result. It's all about how familiar you with this kind of transform property. You need before the exam, you are supposed to do a lot of practice.
Yep.
Alright. Okay. We have a 10-minute break, and after that I will give a short introduction for the MATLAB, the symbolic problem.
Oh, he said that would be a time and
microsecond?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be the pulse width for a servo.
Like, you know, for example, like 1500, 2400, 2000, it'd be like full left, full, or center, full left, full right, and somewhat right and out, or somewhat. How do you get how much of those correspondence or directions are in there? The last email he replied to.
File change?
Yeah, 600 is
full left, that's the middle of 2400 is full right.
You had
ratio in between.
No.
Basically, he told me that he chose to send the pulse value to the pit.
Right.
And then it flows through, you know, the multi servo?
Yeah.
You know that menu, whenever you run it, it pulls up that menu and type in value? So we're supposed to gut that and take out the menu functionality. And it's supposed to send that data to the servo to update their pulse width.
Okay.
And then when we execute it, we're supposed to get that pulse width out on a fixed thing.
Okay. But why is the servo expression like?
So is anybody like comprehending how to do this? I understand what it means to do, but I don't know how to do it.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. I'm just wondering if any of us are going to be able to do this in life, like be able to demonstrate.
Yeah, no, because the whole point of this is going to be eventually we're going to have it to where we just slide the slider and it changes the
right
value.
That's the next week's slide. That's the next week's slide, actually, I think.
He didn't want us to do it all at once because it would be way harder to do.
Well, it's already.
Yeah, it's already pretty hard.
Sorry, it's pretty hard.
The GUI made the GUI itself wasn't bad.
I've got the GUI.
I didn't want to hear that shit forever, too.
It took forever, but I think I've got a fully functioning now.
I got my fully functioning as amended. But I just don't know what to do on the slab, though. I tried looking at it, you know, a while ago, but it's just like.
Well, I don't understand. It's like you've got to play. You pulse the entire time period is like 3,000 microseconds. I'm not saying he's saying that, but that's what I'm getting at. You send one servo 1500.
So the entire time period is 20,000 microseconds.
But then why is he saying 24?
No, that's the pulse width. You have the entire, because the servos are standardized for a complete period of 20 milliseconds, or 20,000 microseconds.
Right.
And then depending on the pulse width, changes the duty cycle, which determines the angle of the set.
Well, 20 years.
So pulse width of 600 during that time period will give you full left.
20 milliseconds is the period that's expected.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is only 2.4 milliseconds, which makes more sense. Now, what does it mean by the servos being in center, full left, full right, and so on?
Has Shannon told you yet?
No, Shannon's not here.
Where are you going to be this summer? Either Chambersburg, Tampa, or Hawaii. Let's talk to the Chambersburg. She told you?
I talked to call tonight.
Okay.
And she said she'd be calling her about tonight or tomorrow. It
would be like that. And then you're sending it this value.
Right. But my thing, I understand that. But what I'm trying to understand is what does it mean for servos, or depending on what pulse width you send, what does it mean that they're at center or full left or full right or somewhere right, like you said?
It's just, I don't know, like that's just how the servos apparently are.
I mean,
it's like a standard. Like, if you send it a pulse width of 600, then it should be full left or something. But that's in the specifications for the servo.
So that's like saying it's the fullest amount of power you can drive with, or I'm trying to figure out what that means.
I think it's like your high is going to be that long, and then the rest of it will be low. Like, yeah. You're saying your pulse is going to be longer than that.
So I'm guessing that you can only specify pulse width values from 600 to 2400.
Yeah. Right. And that's in the spec of the servo.
Okay.
Yeah, your servo will like is different pulse width, and then it does something different.
So you have to be continuously feeding it
somewhere
in that range.
Or it'll just
It just won't do
anything.
Okay, so if we send it 1500 milliseconds or 1500, then servo will not change its rotation at all.
If it's at a certain place, mm-hmm. other than that, it'll move to that and then it'll hold the power. If you're sending 1500,
it'll probably try to go further, but it won't. Able to.
1500 out of the range.
1500 is the center.
Okay. So then it'll move to the center and it'll stop.
Oh, good one.
And it'll stay there. As long as you send 1500, it'll stay in the center. Okay. If you send full right, it'll move full right, and then every time you pull, it'll stay right there. Okay.
Okay. What's full right? What's the range?
Well, I don't know what the full range is. But it's not gonna constantly, as long as you're sending the same value, it's gonna be in one place. And I mean it's every split second. So
our pulse is from an angle from certain
right. If you send a different send a different time, it'll move to that time.
Okay.
So, Gary, are you working on this? That's my hand by per second.
I'll be reading.
Can you enjoy it? So you have to convert from the slider every degree is going to be 10 microseconds. I'm sure we'll end up having to set up a ratio for to calculate every movement.
Yeah. Oh, no. I was going by what you wrote. 90 degrees and goes to 90 microseconds.
Yeah, so 1 degree is 10 microseconds. Is that what you said?
So this is too many. I understand where this too many locations are, but I'm assuming they have like the one wide.
Oh yeah, they have all sorts of other places going on. They're all over the nation. You have to go kill it and name off full marshmallow too.
Honestly, when I go to the full time challenge, I'm really happy in all it as far as ever sure.
I wouldn't want to be in the wrong tense. Way too busy.
Well, that's where I'm going this summer because I want to try it. I just don't do it. I've never lived in that big of a city and I've never been to DC.
You learn how to drive different.
I learned how to drive different. Grab my bike, take a bus, subway. Really, my car apart as much as I can.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. So on this problem here, isn't there a specific transform?
Or is it like I'm assuming that the small position
that. The T times V negative V.
No, like
I was trying to find it. So remember you gave us a specific form for this T times that.
Right.
So we did have the information knowing that it has to be for the program. But there's so much more big valve work around.
That's how it gets.
So is that where their transform comes from?
A little bit about MATLAB. How many of you are familiar with the symbolic math toolbox?
Here's some.
One. How about the rest? No? Okay. So still, this kind of useful toolbox for us. And for the symbolic math toolbox, it can do the differentiation, integration, lots of info. Some kind of transform also can help us to solve some equations. Kind of useful because like it can do the integration, right? So for the Fourier transform, remember Fourier transform is just, it's nothing but an integral, right? That's Fourier transform. So if we use the symbolic math toolbox, we can use some with that function name int to do the integral. We can use the int to do the integration, and we will get the Fourier transform. First, let's see how to define a symbol. Usually, we use the this kind of two ways. Like if we want to x equals to SMS x, that will define a symbol for the x. Another way is to use the SYS, yeah. Same. Or if you want to use you can define lots like X, Y, T. After you define this symbol, you can do the manipulation, use the function inside the symbolic toolbox. Like the one important one is the simplify. This function will simplify the representation inside the input and give a simplified output. For example, if we give this as the input, manually we will know what the result of that one. The top is equal to the x plus 2 times x plus 3. Right? It will just equal to x plus 3. Right? So this function can do the same thing for us. If we give this whole thing as the input, we will get x plus 3 as output. And also another function int to do the integration. For the integration we can give it the input as this kind of form. Like we have s t a b, we can give this the four parameter. It will do the integration from A to B for the S will do B. The integration will be regarding T. And if you want to plot some function, it is for the symbolic variable, we can use the easy plot. Here we can give the function and A, B, so it will, basically it will plot like this function. If this is x squared, it will plot y equal to x squared in the area from A to B. From A to B, it will plot that function for it.
So in place of the word function, you put the function, or?
You put the function. If the function is y equals to x squared, you will need to put x squared here. If the function is e to the power of x, you will need to put this as exp exponential x. Something like that.
And if it's like a long expression, do you
put
it in parentheses?
Yeah, line expression, you just put everything here.
I mean, do you close it in parentheses? Or do you have to?
What do you mean by enclose?
Do you enclose the expression in parentheses, or do you just type it out?
You can type it out. You already use, like, for example, if we want to do an integral to some stuff, and we use, we do simplify, it will be equal to like y equal to like x squared plus bx plus c. This representation can be very complicated. Then we just put a y here. The same thing. You can either put a y here, or this lot of things here.
So it'd be easier to type a variable equal to that expression?
Right.
And then put that variable in?
Right.
Okay.
To give you an example, if we see the problem, in the book, textbook page 159, we can see how can we use this kind of function to get the Fourier transform. How we do it. also we define our symbol. We use S Y M F define X T the big X and the omega. There is no comma in that representation. So we define this and we now we have x. For the problem A, we have x equals to 2 times exponential minus 4 times t. And that's how I act. It cannot be, it gives the question x. If we want to plot x equal to this function, we can simply use easy plot. We can give from 0 to 4. That is how now let's solve the Fourier transform of this xt. We use this capital X.
We don't define as a cosine or just a math.
So
it would just be slightly different.
Okay. We should give this as, for the problem A, we should give this as cosine. I thought to show the steps so you can practice by your own. So, in order to get the Fourier transform, we will need to do the integral. The integral will be like x t times exponential negative j omega t. And then we this in this integration regarding t. We give the integration boundary from 0 to infinity. After that, we will need to simplify this solution. That's our feedback. Right here, that is the, this result is the Fourier transform for the Ft, that will be our X omega, capital X omega. If we want to plot this, we can use it is got some predicted value of capital X. Let's give the function. That will be the Fourier transform of the FT. Basically, that's a step how we do it. Is there any questions on that? I think that code has already been posted in the website.
I never thought anything of it.
A lot of times they would find
show something. I mean, it's just that Mr. Popo was driving all the